You're listening to Innovating Infrastructure, where we showcase new and emerging technology-based solutions to the world's infrastructure challenges. I'm Monica Bennett, and I'll be your host for this 10-part series, which is presented to you by the Global Infrastructure Hub. Each podcast episode will be a 25-minute interview with emerging entrepreneurs from the top 10 finalists of our InfraChallenge Innovation Competition. InfraChallenge gives startups and innovators the opportunity to present their technology-based solutions to the world. This year, it's being supported by the Italian G20 presidency, and the competition is focused on solutions for better and more resilient infrastructure. Don't miss our virtual InfraChallenge final event on Thursday, the 16th of September. You can find out more and register on our website at gihub.org. Join me for innovating infrastructure and discover technology solutions that are transforming infrastructure for the better. Today, to talk about an emerging solution for infrastructure maintenance, I'm pleased to welcome Julien Penseau to the podcast. Julien is the co-founder of Zero 30 Solutions, a German startup and one of the top 10 finalists of InfraChallenge 2021. Infrastructure maintenance presents a big challenge to governments all around the world. There is generally insufficient data around the condition of infrastructure and which of these assets need to be prioritized for repairs and maintenance. While there are many technological solutions for gathering data on the condition of assets, the cost and practicality of installing sensors and undertaking surveys on a large scale can be prohibitive. And yet, knowing which assets to maintain and when to maintain them is critical to ensuring the safety and resilience of our infrastructure into the future. Our guest today, Julien from Zero 30 Solutions, has developed a technology that can rapidly map infrastructure assets at a fraction of the cost and time needed compared to standard surveying methods. For all resources mentioned in this episode, visit the show notes at infrachallenge.gihub.org. Now let's get into the interview. Enjoy! Talking to me today about a digital solution for asset management of electricity distribution grids and other widely spaced assets, I have Julien Penseau from Zero 30 Solutions. Julien, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Monica.
At InfraChallenge, you pitched a solution related to widely spaced assets, such as electricity distribution assets. And you mentioned that your solution aims to rapidly identify the assets that are potentially at high risk of failure. Can you take us through why this is an important innovation for the industry? And can you give us an example of a problem that you're trying to solve?
When you have like an infrastructure which is widely spread out, it's not that easy. Let me take an example. In the US, distribution grid has been there for sometimes 50 years, 60 years. There's either no maps of the distribution grid or they're paper-based maps from the 60s and 70s. And so they don't have precise maps of what's out there. And when a worker is sent on the field to do some repair, it's sometimes hard for him to identify what exactly needs to be done because the information is not there. So what we aim to do is try to create 3D map of the assets and inventories of the assets, because we can do it in a lot cheaper, more accurate and quicker way. You might have a lot more accurate data on the office. That's one thing on the information side. But also you have some maintenance side to it. For instance, vegetation management. You might have trees and vegetations which grow a lot too close to the distribution grid, and it might be dangerous for wildfires. For instance, in California in 2018, there was a huge fire and it was caused by vegetation growing too close. With our solution, we can identify the power lines and the power poles, and we can see the vegetation. And because everything is based on laser, we have the distance between the power lines and the power poles. And you can see, oh, it's leaning from above or it's growing from below. And it might be dangerous because we can create maps of danger zones for workers and maybe identify, if you do it multiple times, like every 2 years, do an inventory of the distribution grid, then you might identify trees which are growing too fast. For instance, if a tree is in a source, like close to some water, while some others around it are not around the source, then it might grow too fast, and our solution might be able to head there in order to identify those trees.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the solution and how it works?
Our input is the input of, let's say, like a Google car or a mobile mapping car. Basically, it's close to a Google car, so it has a laser on top of the roof which creates a 3D map of the environment as it drives. But one of the main issues with that is that it creates a huge amount of data. And so we use also the images which comes out of it. So we have the laser, and we have some cameras which look in all different directions. And we use all of that information. We work using some AI algorithms to extract the important information for the utility. Where are the poles? Where are the trees? Where are the danger zones? How the connectivity between the poles and the are, or where are the transformers and those kind of things. So we reduce a huge amount of data, which is comes from the laser and the imagery, and we reduce that to the important, the valuable information for the utility.
I can see how that creates a really critical solution and data set for infrastructure operators, because if they don't really understand what they're dealing with in terms of where their assets are and what the condition of their assets are, then it's difficult for them to make day-to-day decisions in terms of which ones to maintain and which ones to potentially refurbish or replace. Why isn't this happening at the moment? Like, what are the traditional ways of undertaking this kind of mapping? And why is such a challenge for the industry?
Most of the asset management programs or the inventory programs are done by people walking the line. So basically, they walk along the power grid and take a photo or multiple photos of a power pole and see the connections going through there. And so sometimes that is done using handheld devices, but sometimes it's even like on pen and paper, and then retranscribe that into their GIS software. We just drive along the at normal speeds along the distribution grid, and we capture all data by recording photos and the 3D point out, which is the 3D model of the environment. And then we run our algorithms, which basically work automatically in the cloud, and we extract from there automatically where are the poles. So we use AI algorithms to find the poles and look at them using the 3D model, because we have an exact GPS position. And from there, we can extract, okay, on that pole, we see, oh, there's a transformer, or there's three different power, so cable companies which are coming into that pole. And on top of that, there's electrical grid. That's different. So I think why it hasn't become like things sooner, I think one thing is what we're doing is really intensive in terms of tech. So it's combining point cloud, images, GPS positions. So infrastructure or utility companies, they might not have that AI expertise or tech expertise that we have. And on the other side, the AI experts, they're working on fancy self-driving cars and other problems. They don't know that much the problems of the infrastructure companies might have and what needs to be solved. So I think we're trying to bridge the gap between infrastructure companies and AI experts. We have identified that infrastructure companies have a big need in that field. We're trying to bridge that gap.
That must present some huge time savings for the people that are actually using your technology. And as you mentioned before, that also bridges a gap in terms of capability. So you're going straight from field data through to an expert analysis and mapping on GIS, which I think is a great step change in terms of being able to transition that kind of capability in the industry. So how much faster can a decision be made regarding a particular asset by using your technology?
I think it's having accurate data versus inaccurate data. And so for decision making, it's might be a lot faster because you know that you have accurate data, and then you can send orders. While in the traditional ways, then you might not have that data. You might have outdated data because the last inventory has been done 10 years ago. And so you send those workers with some orders, and they have to come back because they realize that it's not accurate data. So something might take a week instead of like being done in 2 days. And then when you compare that to a whole network, then it's really hard to say how much savings in time or money, but having accurate data is power. Knowledge is power. So you do better job and quicker job if you know what's out there. And also on the other side, the inventory is a lot quicker. Huh? So as we said before, you compared someone walking down the line, taking notes every port versus someone driving and at normal speed and then letting the algorithms do the work. So taking the information is a lot quicker, and issuing orders might be quicker because you know that you have a good sort of data.
Julian, you mentioned earlier that you can apply your technology to electricity distribution assets. For example, being able to identify when distribution assets are being encroached upon by vegetation. That's one example of a use case that you can apply your technology to, but can you give us a few other examples of applications for your technology?
Yeah, sure. So I think our technology is really versatile because what we do is we have a 3D model of the environment in the form of a point cloud on the one hand, and we have images of all the environment, which are showing everything that we see by driving along a road. One thing that you could do, let's say if a municipality needs to identify bus stops because they want to update the where those bus stops to optimize anything, what you can do is train a network and find those bus stops into the images, and then we can locate them on the map by using the point cloud and say, okay, this is a bus stop, this is taxi stop. And we can create a map of those bus stops because we have trained a new network which recognize that. Another example might be potholes. Potholes can also be recognized on images, but sometimes it might not be exactly, it might look like one, but it's not deep enough so that it's dangerous or whatever, or it's too deep and it's really dangerous. We can use a 3D model to see that pothole also in the point cloud, or this is really something. And then we can report that to a municipality or the Department of Transportation and whatever.
So it's great to have a platform technology that's really versatile and allows you to address a particular problem and actually tailor a solution to a particular problem depending on what the customer is actually asking of you. What do you consider to be the biggest challenge facing you right now? I mean, it seems that you've got a really versatile technology, which is usually has a huge potential in the market. What are your biggest barriers at the moment to putting this out there and making it a commercially available product and solution?
So there's definitely a challenge on the tech side. But for me, the biggest challenge right now is talking to the right people on the business side. So finding a utility or a municipality who is willing to try a new solution, what we need to do a pilot project with a utility, with a municipality and say, okay, we're at first, we are interested in the distribution grid and what's on there and are there transformers? Where are the transformers? And I think my main issue is how to approach those people, how to talk to them and create an MVP, minimum viable product for them. And then from that discussion, from that starting project, then we can move from there and say, okay, let's say you're first interested in the position of the poles, but now we can also do position of the trees and vegetation management. We can try to identify leaning poles, which might fall down. From that minimum viable product, we might go further pretty quickly because the technology is so versatile. So I think the main issue is not on the tech side, but mostly on the business side. So basically, we're techies and we're learning right now how to talk to big business and to sell ourselves, to sell our product. I think that's the main issue right now.
And who would be your ideal customer? What would be your ideal application if you were to find that pilot?
I think one thing would be work with a utility, and then I would love to find a utility in the US, in Australia, not Europe that much because we don't have that much overhead. Everything is underground, so it's different. But let's say in the US or in Australia, find a utility there and do a small pilot project. Let's say mid-sized city where we map everything. And they tell us, okay, right now we want to check your solution, deliver a map of the grid, and we're just interested in the positions and maybe the height of the poles for that mid-sized city. If we do that, then let's say, okay, it looks really good and we like that solution, that it's quick, it's cheaper, it's accurate. Then let's extend that to a bigger domain and do it for a state, for like they are all service territory. And then from there also, once we have the data from the city or the service territory, then we can also improve the algorithms to find, we need a back and forth discussion on what do they exactly need. Because probably from the data, once it's been taken, even if it's not thought about, so let's say we think about at first just getting the position of the poles, but we didn't think about the vegetation management side of it. We still have those images and we still have the point clouds. So we can go back into the data that we gathered and find new use cases, but you don't have to go again and measure everything. So that might be useful. So we can talk back and forth and say, okay, we're going to develop some new algorithms to find that thing which is of interest to you. Trying a small utility which is willing to try some new technology and is kind of a tech savvy and see the advantage of using that technology. And that may be a huge step forward. Because I think if we do it for a small utility or a small region and we showcase that solution, then we can quickly go in lots of different directions and do that for lots of different utilities.
And how do you feel that InfraChallenge is helping you overcome some of these challenges and helping you meet some of these opportunities?
I think the mentoring program was pretty cool. So we were paired with Tim Williams, who used to work with governments and bigger companies. As I said, we're tech guys and we're not that experienced in creating and writing good documents. And so he's helpful in finding the right expression. The mentoring program was really good for that. So being able to make it maybe less tech savvy, less acronyms. You don't need to know everything about that technology. You need to know what it's going to do for you. And decision makers, they need to understand that it's going to save them some money and how our technology is working. And the other side, like the workshops, also there was one workshop which explains also the structure of how VC world works and business angels and banks, where we at, and try to understand how the financing world of, so how to finance startups works. And the last thing was we had another workshop with Mike Delisio. So we have a follow-up, I think, next week with him in order to see, he's going to hear about our solution. And I already know that he's working with utilities in order to do those projects. So the contacts that the hub is delivering also helping to get in contact with potential clients.
So the mentors have helped you refine the value proposition of your solution. And it's great to hear that the InfraChallenge is also helping to get you some of that exposure for your solution to a broader range of stakeholders.
Yeah. And what the InfraChallenge is bringing us also is lots of credibility and legitimacy. So I think having been chosen among the 10 best startups or teams for the infrastructure challenge, then it shows that, okay, our solution is just not the small thing, small idea of a few engineers, but something which has been recognized by so infrastructure experts as something worthy. I think this also helps to like that exposure and being able to say to refer to the GI Hub. It helps a lot. Mentoring was good to have for the value proposition. The workshop were good because we have contacts and interesting information. Because we have been selected in the best 10 teams, we have more credibility and legitimacy when it comes to getting in touch with some new companies.
And Julian, what inspired you to develop this solution? So I understand that you've had experience in the past in developing technological solutions in relation to infrastructure potentially. Can you tell us about how you came to this idea for Zero30 solutions?
So we used to work at a bigger mapping company, and that mapping company was doing mostly work for the road, for the car industry, creating maps of the roads for potentially for self-driving cars. We used to work with that kind of data. And then we tried to push and we wanted to do, okay, but let's use that same data for other things. There's lots of other things. Infrastructures might be also interested in that same data. And so at one point we realized, okay, this is something that could be also a huge thing. There's not only the cars and the auto industry. And we realized that infrastructure industry might not have the full knowledge to do that. So we decided to create this startup and say, mix the two. The AI solution and but just apply it to different things, not just cars, but municipalities, utilities, and that kind of thing. We saw that information and wanted to push it to a new field.
So what's next in store for Zero30 Solutions in terms of technology development or business development or both?
So we have lots of potential clients, like people who are really interested in our distribution grid solution. So we're talking already with some people in Australia, in Turkey, in India, and in the US. That's one thing. Another thing that we want to do is like to showcase a really small city. Let's say like we're going to drive down some city around Berlin and try to map everything and see if all the problematic that comes from gathering all that information on a, in a sense, on a larger scale and showing it out there for a utility. So we want to showcase a small city with some real data and some real solution.
Fantastic. And we wish you all the best with that and all the best with the Infra Challenge finals, which are coming up soon.
Thank you.
Find out more about this technology and other top 10 finalists of Infra Challenge 2021 at infrachallenge.gihub.org. Also, don't miss the virtual Infra Challenge final event on Thursday, the 16th of September. Join us and watch the top 10 make their final pitch to become the Infra Challenge 2021 winner. Register to attend at gihub.org. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Monica Bennett from the Global Infrastructure Hub, and you've been listening to Innovating Infrastructure.